Beginning in August, we began a study of the wilderness experience of Israel because God led me to start a study through the wilderness because we're in a wilderness time ourselves. We're in a sense wandering through this wilderness, hopefully getting back to the promised land soon. And I have a couple more weeks to go on this, but this morning, last week we talked about the miracle of God in providing for Israel through the manna that dropped every day from heaven for 40 years. Well, there's another provision we're going to look at this morning, the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night that did not leave the people for 40 years as they wandered through the wilderness to the promised land. And this morning we're going to look at four assurances that God gave his people through the pillar of cloud. And when we say pillar of cloud, we don't know exactly what it looked like, but I think of a pillar, and I think of a cloud. It wouldn't be the fluffy clouds we see here, but a definite, identifiable pillar of cloud that did not depart from them in the day, and the pillar of fire that did not depart from them at night. The first assurance was God's presence. In Exodus chapter 13, verses 21 to 22, by day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by night or by day. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. Every morning that you woke, the pillar of cloud was there in your presence, in your vision, God's presence. At night when you were retired, the pillar of fire burned above you. God's presence did not leave night or day for 40 years. The people needed the assurance that God was with them because they were already grumbling that God had abandoned them. And they were grumbling to Moses that it's his fault he bring them out there into this wilderness where they had no hope. So God wanted to assure his people, I have not left you. I have not abandoned you. You know, I think there are times when we all might feel that God has left us or we can't find God. Have you ever had that experience? Your faith tells you one thing. I know that God hasn't left me, but I see no evidence that he's with me right now with what I'm going through. If you've ever felt that way, you're not alone. The Bible is full of examples of how men or women felt this way. David, the great King David, who wrote many of the Psalms, in Psalms 10:1 said this, why, O Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in time of trouble? Job, a righteous man who had lost everything, in Job chapter 23 said, I go to the east and God's not there. I go to the west, I don't find him there. I go to the north where he is working, I don't see him. I go to the south, I catch no glimpse of him. And finally, Job realized when God revealed himself, God was there all the time. Jesus, on the cross, what did he say? My God, why have you forsaken me? Even our Lord, in his humanity, felt at that moment, when the sin of the world was upon him and he was dying on the cross, God had forsaken him. Even though we know better, sometimes we feel abandoned by God. One of our daughters, when she left from after graduating from high school to move to Southern California to establish herself on her own, was having a typical time that teenagers go through when they're on their own, they're not home, they have questions, they have uncertainties, struggles about living on their own. She wrote us a letter after a few months of from being away, and she said, Mom and Dad, God gave me this scripture, and it's on the back of your scripture sheet. It was Hebrews 13:5-6. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? That turned her life around, and she was able to stay in Southern California, go to school, and then eventually come back up here to be near us. But you know, God will never forsake you, no matter how you feel, no matter what the difficulties are. And we're going through difficult times now with the coronavirus, the fires, the uncertainties of life, things being closed down, people being out of work. Sue and I, a number of years ago, were at a Billy Graham crusade in Sacramento, California. And before the crusade, they have a meeting of pastors and their wives to get ready for the crusade. We met Jeanette Clifton was her name. She was Corrie Ten Boom's sister, one of her sisters that was with Corrie when they were in the concentration camp in Germany. They were Dutch Christians who were hiding Jews from the Nazis. Well, they got caught, got sent to a concentration camp. And Jeanette said, you know, when we were in that camp, our family said, we don't see God anywhere. Where is God? But God gave them a scripture, and they were evidently able to have a Bible, and the scripture that God gave them is right on the back of your scripture sheet this morning, 2 Chronicles 16:9. And she said, here's what God gave us. For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth to strongly support those whose hearts are completely His. And Jeanette said, even better than us seeing God, we were given the assurance that God sees us. And that was a greater comfort, that no matter what our circumstances, no matter how difficult it is, God is watching over us. And that's our assurance. You know, we don't have a pillar of cloud in the sky to show us God's presence. We don't have a pillar of fire burning by night to show us God's presence. We have the Word of God. I guess you could say that's His pillar of cloud. We have the Holy Spirit, His fire within us, but we don't have a visible presence of God. We have the assurance of God in our hearts that He will never leave us or forsake us. What did Jesus say to His disciples? Lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. So the pillar of cloud and fire gave Israel that assurance. No matter what you feel like, God is with you because there's the cloud and there's the fire. The second assurance, God's guidance. Reading now the next selection from Numbers 9, 15 to 21. On the day the tabernacle, the tent of testimony was set up, the cloud covered it. From evening till morning, the cloud above the tabernacle looked like fire. That is how it continued to be. The cloud covered it, and at night it looked like fire. Whenever the cloud lifted from above the tent, the Israelites set out. Whenever the cloud settled, the Israelites encamped. At the Lord's command, the Israelites set out, and at His command they encamped. As long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle, they remained in the camp. When the cloud remained over the tabernacle a long time, the Israelites obeyed the Lord's order and did not set out. Sometimes the cloud was over the tabernacle only a few days, and at the Lord's command they would encamp, and then at His command they would set out. Sometimes the cloud stayed only from evening to morning. So one day they camped, and when it lifted in the morning, they set out, whether by day or by night. Whenever the cloud lifted, they set out. Don't you wish sometimes that when you needed to follow the leading of God, that He would lead you that clearly? Just follow the cloud or follow the fire, and you're in God's will. Sometimes it's not that easy when we pray, Lord, show me what You want me to do. Show me Your way. But we do have the Word of God, which when we're in it daily, guides us. We have the witness of the Holy Spirit within us. When you're born again, not only are you given eternal life and the forgiveness of sins, you're given the gift of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit, in always in line with the Word of God, will guide you into all truth, the Bible says. God guides us through life, whether we have a visual guidance or more of an internal guidance in the guidance of His Word. In the late 1800s, a poor man and his wife, a carpenter by the name of George Young, lived in rural South Dakota. And he barely made a living for him and his wife. But besides being a carpenter, he preached at a little country church. And they every month, they would just barely meet their physical needs with what he was paid. After many, many years, George was able to build a cottage of his own for him and his wife. And there they lived. One day, George was away on a preaching assignment, and some thugs in the community who didn't like him preaching the gospel decided that they would burn his cottage to the ground, and they did. When he got home from his assignment, his wife was okay, but the cottage that all of his life he had saved to build was burned to the ground. George was inspired to write a song. And in fact, the scripture that Rebecca read at the end of her sharing, Isaiah 43, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." There's a little bit of a feedback here. Can you just dial it a little bit? And he was inspired when he saw his house burned to the ground to write a song. I think it's the only song he ever wrote. He's so unknown that we don't even know exactly when he was born or when he died. But we do know the song. It's on the back of your scripture sheet. It's entitled, God Leads His Dear Children Along. And it goes like this. In shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along. Where the waters cool flow, the weary one's feet, God leads his dear children along. That's reflecting God's rest when we follow him. But then, the path isn't always easy. The chorus goes like this. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Isn't that beautiful? Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. The path that God leads us along isn't always easy. But where he's leading us into his rest is certain and eternal. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." When God leads you, follow. Back in, again, just above that song, the back of your scripture sheet, Deuteronomy 8:1-2. "Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase, and may enter and possess the land that the Lord has promised you to your forefathers. Remember how the Lord led you all the way in the desert these 40 years, to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commandments." God would not allow them to go into the promised land until he knew they would follow his commandments. You see, God's guidance is only as good as my obedience. God can go guide me, but if I don't obey, what good is the guidance of God? God was teaching his people to be humble as he led them through the desert. The third assurance, going back to the front of your sheet, God's voice. God actually spoke to his people through the cloud. Exodus 33:7-11. "Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp, some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting." Now this was different than the tabernacle. This was a tent that he would take and he would pitch the tent. And there in the tent, he would meet with God. No one else was allowed to go inside but him. And there was a glow, the Shekinah glory of God, that came down upon that tent when God and Moses were meeting. Whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they stood and worshipped, each at the entrance to his tent. And then this verse, beautiful verse, the Lord would speak with Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. And then Moses would return to the camp. And if you remember, when Moses came out of that tent, what did he have to do? He had to put on a veil because he was glowing so brightly no one could look into his face. And he had to wear that veil until the glory receded, and then he could take it off because he had been in the presence of God. What separated Jehovah from all the other pagan gods was this, that he spoke to his people face to face. All the other pagan gods were gods that were vengeful, gods that were strict, and gods that were demanding of the people. And they didn't speak with the people. They were made of stones and wood. They were idols. But Jehovah God spoke with Moses face to face. This passage inspired Joseph Scriven to write a hymn that we know very well. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our griefs, all of our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Joseph Scriven was a son of an Irish Marine sailor in back in the early 1800s. He was born, became a teacher as a young man, and fell in love. The day before he was to be married, his fiancée drowned, and he was brokenhearted. So much so that he left Ireland and moved to Canada to live. He began working in Canada and fell in love with another woman by the name of Eliza Rice. They fell in love, became engaged. They were about to be married, but just a few days before they were to be married, she became ill, and she died. A second fiancé dying just before their marriage. He was now broken, shattered. And at the age of 25, Joseph Scriven decided that he would take a vow of poverty, give up everything, sold everything he had, took a vow of poverty, and says, from now on, I will dedicate my life to helping those that were financially hurting and those that were physically unable to help themselves. And he did that. And 10 years later, after that, he found out that his mother in Ireland had grown very, very ill and was near death. He had nothing, so he couldn't go back to see her. So he sat down and he wrote the words, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our griefs and sins to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to him in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. He sent that verse, those three verses, to his mother. Not long after that, he was drowned in a lake in Canada. And he never even got to know that his verse that he had written to his mother as his last word of encouragement to her was made into a hymn that thousands of people have loved since that time. For us today, we don't have a cloud that we have to go to for the voice of God, but we have the Word of God. And that's why we say to you, you need to be in the Word of God daily. God is speaking to us if we're willing to hear. Back on the back of your scripture sheet, Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. He spoke in dreams. He spoke in visions. He spoke through his voice. He spoke through prophets. Many, many ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. We still have the voice of God today. It may not be in a tent, but it's in a form we can all know, the Word of God. Cherish the Word, love the Word, read the Word. God is speaking to us today. Finally, the fourth assurance that he gave to Israel is protection. In Deuteronomy 29, 2-6, Moses summoned all the Israelites and said to them, your eyes have seen all the Lord did in Egypt to Pharaoh, to all of his officials, and to all of his land. With your own eyes you saw these great trials, those miraculous signs and great wonders. But to this day, The Lord has not given you a mind that understands, or eyes that see, or ears that hear. So what he is saying is, you've seen everything that God has done, all the miracles he's done for you, but somehow it hasn't sunk into your mind that this is God doing this because he loves you. You don't understand what God is doing. During those 40 years that I led you through the desert, your clothes did not wear out, nor did the sandals on your feet. Any of you wearing a pair of shoes that you've worn for 40 years? Not me. Mine last maybe a year. I have a few that maybe have lasted longer, but 40 years walking in the desert and their sandals did not wear out. Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 8:4 says, your feet did not even swell. Your feet did not swell. In the hot desert, you go out for a little walk or a jog, and your feet swell on your shoes. Mine do. For 40 years, your feet did not swell. What was happening? God, through his cloud, not only giving them guidance, but shade in the desert to keep their clothes from not wearing out. Amazing. And their feet not swelling, their sandals not wearing out. God not only, the cloud and the fire, or if you remember when they were crossing the Red Sea, what happened with the cloud? Remember what happened? The cloud, as the Egyptians were bearing down upon them with their chariots, and they were standing on the shore, the cloud came between Israel and the chariots, so that it separated the Egyptians from seeing the Israelites. And on the Israelite side, there was light for them to see. On the Egyptian side, there was darkness, so they couldn't see. And that cloud separated Israel from their enemy until they were able to get safely across the Red Sea. But not only did the cloud and the fire at night, too, gave them warmth, gave them light to see at night. Not only did these elements protect them from the enemy, but from the elements. I've read about the Sinai Desert, and the Sinai Desert is the one place on the face of the earth that has the largest difference between a daytime temperature and a nighttime temperature. It has been actually measured that sometimes, not all the time, but they've determined that there has been a 100 degree difference between the high during the day and the low at night. So it'll get to be 110 degrees in the daytime in the Sinai Desert, but at certain times of the year, at night, it gets down below freezing. They've even measured it below 10 degrees. So there is a 100 degree shift between the daytime and nighttime temperature. They needed this kind of divine protection just to survive in the wilderness. And God gave it to them through the cloud. On the back of your sheet, I want to conclude with this from Deuteronomy, because, you know, we don't need that kind of protection from God today. We don't need the protection from the heat and the cold. We have other ways to do this, but what we need protection from is when our strength starts to run out and when our patience grows thin and when our love grows cold and when our hope begins to dim. We need God's protection from despair, and God gives us that. Here's this verse in Deuteronomy, three verses in Deuteronomy 32, 10 to 12. In a desert land, he found them in a barren and howling waste. He shielded them and cared for them. Shielded and cared for them. He guarded them as the apple of his eye. Did you know that was in the Bible? There's a five other times when the Bible says God's people are the apple of his eye. And that simply means of all the things that God cherishes and cares for and loves, he cares for his people more than any. They're the apple of his eye, like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, that spreads out its wings to catch them and carries them on its pinions. The Lord alone led them. No foreign God was with them. If you feel abandoned, forgotten, God is deaf to what you're going through, God doesn't care, remember this. You're the apple of his eye. God created everything. He created the animals, the birds, the creatures that we love so much. He created all the plants that are around us, but God loves no one more than he loves you. You're the apple of his eye. Don't forget that. And as we conclude today, we don't have the pillar of cloud. We don't have the pillar of fire. We have something much, much better. We have his presence dwelling within us. We have his word sure that we can go to every day knowing what God's will is. And God is simply saying, simply trust me, obey me. I will never guide you anywhere that you shouldn't be going. And the path you're going through is not an easy path. Again, we're going through a difficult time. And I know you're going, I hear what you're going through. It's hard for all of us. No one has an easy path right now. But God, with God leading us, God will lead us to our eternal home. We're on the right path. We're on the right, we're following the right Lord, the only Lord and Savior through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Let's pray as we close today. Lord, I want to thank you for this reminder of the cloud and the fire in the desert of Sinai, that you didn't forget your people 3,300 years ago. And you haven't forgotten your people today. It's humbling to know, Lord, that we're the apple of your eye. As much as you love all of your creation, and not a sparrow, the Bible says, falls to the ground without you noticing, yet we are so much more valuable to you than all of them, because we are the ones for whom your son died. Your eternal son gave his life, took our sins, redeemed us, made us, Lord, righteous in your sight through him. Thank you, Father, for your love. And I pray that whatever each of us is going through today, we will not lose hope, that we will not forget that we have a God who loves us with an everlasting love. Thank you for this assurance today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.